This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2022. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded February 20th, Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, Cuba, France, Germany, India, Indonesia, Korea North and South, Kuwait, Madagascar, Malaysia, North America, Oklahoma, Papua New Guinea, Sarawak, Taiwan, Turkey, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, via Noel Green, Kim Elliott, and Ian of Shortwave Sites, advanced news of a special event amateur radio operation the weekend of March 14th and 15th from the former Radio Australia transmitter site at Shepparton, Victoria. The call sign will be Victor India 3, Radio Australia. I expect I have more news about this just before the event happens. Radio Cultura de Araraquara, São Paulo, Brazil, continues to be sporadically active on 3365, especially when there's a silly ball game to broadcast. Wolfgang Büscher was hearing it again via a remote receiver near to it in São Paulo State, February 20th at midnight 20 UT, measured 48 hertz above 3365. Shortly after I tuned in, Voz Missionaria measured 12 hertz variable above 9666. February 19th at 2313, I heard an ID in English. Climbing their frequencies are 9665, 5940, and 11750 from RVM Radio. Well, thanks for the English, but they are woefully misinformed. They're never on exactly 9665. 5940 is always off frequency to the low side, but now was overwhelmed by a splash from WWCR. And it has not been on 11750 for years. It was already deleted from World Radio TV Handbook 2018 and maybe earlier. DXing longwave beacons can be rather boring initially, especially from the standpoint of programming content, repeating their three-letter IDs over and over. However, they can lead to some interesting background if you pursue information about their location, such as on 355 kHz, I heard a dash in YWP, which is 200 watts from WebEQ, Ontario. I have no idea how to pronounce it. It's WebEQUIE. I looked it up and found the town's own website, a growing Ojibwe community, 540 kilometers north of Thunder Bay with 850 members, some of the best fishing and hunting in northern Ontario. It so happens that one of our regular contributors, Dr. Walt Samaniv of Victoria, B.C., replies, "It's an interesting place. I spent a few weeks there in midwinter in the late 70s as a senior medical student. Only way in and out was via plane. My clinic and residence had no power then, only wood heat. Besides the Hudson's Bay store manager, I was the only non-Ojibwe person there. Very cold, in the order of minus 20 to 40 degrees centigrade. The northern lights were spectacular. I admit to getting cabin fever there after a few weeks and was eager to move on after that," says Walt Samaniv. Another of several Canadian beacons I've heard the past week was on 388 kHz. This one is only two letters, double M and the dash, signifying it's Canadian, February 18th at 0730. That's a 500-watt beacon at Fort McMurray, Alberta. I see it's a surprisingly large town so far into the subarctic northeastern outback, population over 66,000, but that's due to the oil boom, said to be on the decline since a fire. It's almost 2,500 kilometers or over 1,500 miles from me. Ron Howard upon Asilo Mar, State Beach, California, reports on Voice of Strait China, 4940, Sunday, February 16th, during their only weekend show in English called Focus on China. The program this time was called Selfie, produced by China Plus. It suddenly came on the air at 0939, already in progress, as usual. It was telling the life story of a Chinese painter. Fresh, dynamic, professional, profound, explore Chinese culture. You're listening to Focus on China, they say. At 9:55, they went into a Chinese program. It was fairly readable and not parallel to their other Voice of Strait frequency, 4900. many items, especially from the press. I can only summarize very briefly here, but you'll find them or links to them in the World of Radio IO group, such as this one via Mike Cooper from news.trust.org headlined, U.S. imposes new rules on state-owned Chinese media over propaganda concerns. It originated February 18th with Reuters. The Trump administration says it will begin treating five major Chinese state-run media entities with U.S. operations, the same as foreign embassies, requiring them to register their employees and U.S. properties with the State Department. Because China's been tightening state control over its media, and the president has made more aggressive use of them to spread pro-Beijing propaganda. The new determination is being applied to the Xinhua News Agency, China Global Television Network, China Radio International, China Daily Distribution Corp., and Haitian Development USA, Inc. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. As late as February 18th, the eighth day in a row, I was still hearing one of their transmitters way off frequency, 15369.2 at 2307. Surprise, surprise, Ivo Ivanov was also finding the same off-frequency-ness for a couple of the Cuban spy numbers frequencies, which leads us to believe they're the same transmitter. February 17th at 07 on 9329.2. I actually measured that one at 0.237 when WBCQ was finished testing. And 9064.2 at 0800, according to Ivo. Huge, dirty, FM-ish spur blobs all over the 13 MHz band continue to emanate from Havana's 13700 transmitter most mornings, but not every morning. However, February 19th at 15:02, I heard some different spurs, first on 13852.062, which did not match Havana, but instead Radio Marti on 13820. So OCB in Grimesland, North Carolina, is showing Bauta how to make spurs. These are very weak, but with good modulation, nothing like the ones from Havana. After finding that one, I found a bunch of others at approximately plus and minus 16 kilohertz above and below 13820, all the way between 13740 and 13900. Mike Cooper in Atlanta comments on some programming from Radio Marti. I've started listening to Interferencia, Sundays at 19 UT, a one-hour chart countdown show, listening to the stream as I get no reception at that time on shortwave. I've heard the show run a promo that starts off sounding like Radio Reloj, with the time ticks and an announcer who mentions Interferencia. The time ticks then start going into a Latin rhythm, and music is added. I've had to chuckle at them making fun of Radio Reloj in Cuba. I also heard a promo referring to Radio Regreso, which I assume was a slam at Progreso. Manuel Mendez in Spain forwards news from Atlantic 2000 International that they would be on the air Saturday, February 22nd via Channel 292 in Germany, 9 to 10 UT on both frequencies, 6070 and 7440, and then another hour online only. Go to radioatlantic2000.free.fr. I wish I could say the same in Oklahoma, but in New Brunswick, Richard Langley says, as usual, a good signal from All India Radio, General Overseas Service, February 14th at 2145 on 9445, even indoors on a portable with whip antenna. Pleasant Indian subcontinental music. All India Radio is a reliable shortwave broadcaster. Let's hope it stays that way for a few more years. As of last week, we thought we had it pinned down for sure that the Voice of Indonesia transmitter on 4750 is now from Chimangas near Jakarta rather than original Makassar. But further questions have been raised based on further discussion and not exactly explicit info coming out of Indonesia. On the shortwave sites group, Mono Regulus says, maybe they are still transmitting from Makassar. At least that's what the old offset frequency would suggest, which was 4749.95, as it's still being heard. There's talk of an Omnitronics 10 kilowatt transmitter from Chimangas, which might be a future plan. On February 16th, between 11:06 and 12:10, Ron Howard found a significant anomaly. No shortwave jamming from North Korea against all the South Korean clandestine frequencies, a Voice of the People, Echo of Hope, and Voice of Freedom, nor any jamming against KBS on 6015. Richard Langley in New Brunswick replies, should also check if Voice of Korea transmissions are free from the background self-jamming noise common on most transmissions. Mick Dumage in Alberta replies, a quick check of all VOK frequencies at 1725, February 16th. I hear nothing and see no carriers on the Perseus screen. And Ron Howard replies to that, what is happening is that North Korea is celebrating one of the country's most important national holidays, Day of the Shining Star, the anniversary of the late Kim Jong-il's birthday, a two-day holiday, so the jamming might remain off. Then Richard Langley says, checked a few VOK frequencies around 1830 and 1920 via the remote in Holland. Nothing heard or seen. Is this unprecedented for all shortwave transmissions to be off for the holiday? What about domestic shortwave and medium wave? Are all of those off too? Why not use radio to proclaim the holiday and the greatness of Kim Jong-il? Electricity in short supply? Need for other celebration activity? Ron Howard says, this explains it. There's a page in Wikipedia about Day of the Shining Star, which says the North Korean people receive more food rations and electricity than usual on the Day of the Shining Star. By 2220 UT, however, Wolfgang Büschel observes that jamming has resumed on some of the frequencies. And Ron Howard surveyed for February 17th the weekly frequency changes for the South Korean clandestines. Voice of the People on 3485, 3915, 3930, 4450, 6520, and 6600. That was at 1046 UT, while a few minutes earlier Echo of Hope was on 3990, 4885, 6000, 6250, 6355, and 9100. And the jamming had resumed against KBS on 6015. While 5920, Voice of Freedom, as usual, had good reception, the jamming was still missing from that frequency, but was also missing from 6045. Radio Kuwait registrations show a 365-day-a-year, make that 366, transmission in Arabic for Central and Western North America at 20 to 24 UT on 17550. I keep checking for just a trace of that and cannot hear it at all, except in the summer. So I wonder if it's really on the air, especially since it's starting out at almost local midnight. Rather inept frequency management. You would not really expect it to propagate, especially in the winter. Is anyone hearing it? In fact, at that hour, the only signal I can hear on 16-meter band is 17570 AWR from Madagascar at 2000. Ron Howard reports coverage of the 63rd National Level Quran Recital and Memorization Competition being held in the Sabah International Convention Center at Kota Kinabalu, broadcast via Sarawak FM 9835 via Kajang Peninsula, Malaysia, February 18th after 1242 UT. This is a notable event due to women reciting from the Quran. It's done in segments of about 10 minutes. The competition would conclude on February 21st. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2022. Also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Carl Witzman in Danville, Illinois, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. One may also contribute by check or money order in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. More logs of the Antichrist Pirate Station YHWH, all from Rick Martin in Arizona. February 13th at 0400, tune in on 7470. The usual voice of Josiah, 20 over 9 with long deep fades. With the Ten Commandments of Yahweh, some verbal bare-knuckle punching to warmongering Christians and corporate banksters. His theme song, Days of Hard Life, at 0419 and off at 423. Also heard on the daytime afternoon frequency. This was February 15th. Tune in at 1900 with the usual monologue, soon fading down and out by 1930. Also the next day, February 16th on 11560. Tune in at 2133 with Days of Hard Life. And it went off at 2138. Selling naming rights to a building is a big thing around here. For instance, an event center has been named for a bank. And now I heard on KGWA 960 in Enid, the top of an hour ID, putting their insignificant FM translator first, and then they said, from the Ladislaw Evans Studios of KGWA. So they've sold naming rights of their studio to a local mortuary. Either that or they've actually moved into the funeral home. How apropos, just in time for deadbeat Fox News and Rush Limbaugh. Ben Dawson sends a procurement notice from the UN Development Program. It's extremely detailed, calling for bids to replace the 1584 kilohertz transmitter on Palau. T8AA has been off the air since 2012, leaving the official station on FM 87.9 only, but with inadequate coverage. Calls for a new 5 kilowatt AM transmitter and all associated equipment. Papua New Guinea, Ron Howard says, Montauk Radio Light 7325 is on the air again. February 14th at 0926 and 950, I had a definite carrier, but never any audio. This, of course, was before the start of China's strong signal at about 1000, which totally blocks the frequency. I believe Wontok must be running very low power now. In past years, I often enjoyed their programs before CRI came on. Filed under S for Sarawak Non, another report from Ron Howard on 11890, Radio Nyawa Sarawak, that's NYAWA, which according to Alki is broadcasting from Tashkent, Uzbekistan, heard February 19th, Wednesday, from 1117 until cut off in mid-sentence at 1158. He says, I've been monitoring this Monday, Wednesday, Friday broadcast. Today's the second time I've found audio above threshold level, so rare reception for me. There are many phone calls in vernacular, but it was not jammed and matched audio streaming at their website, www.radionyawasarawak.org. Juan Franco Crespo forwards news from the AER website in Spain, from originating with Radio Taiwan International, that they're about to carry out some experimental broadcasts in Spanish. This will be for 4 days, from UT February 23rd to 26th, asking for reception reports and promising a special QSL, if sent to ESP at rti.org.tw. The details, 01 to 130 UT on 9490 for South America, and 03 to 330 UT on 9500 for Cuba and Central America. They do not say so, but this smacks of an Issoudun, France relay. 9490 is registered at midnight to 04 UT, 150 kilowatts at 285 degrees for RMI. And according to Aoki, that's currently carrying Radio Republica, not to mention jamming, daily at 01 to 04, and another hour on Saturdays and Sundays until 05. However, they may not be starting Radio Republica until 02 UT during standard time, so that would not conflict with the Taiwan experiment. 9500 is open for anything, since 9490 is still occupied at 03 by jamming and Radio Republica. Of course, WRMI used to relay Taiwan via Okeechobee. By the way, Aoki shows Taiwan is also on 9490 direct with a jammed Chinese hour at midnight until 01. And WRTH shows no Spanish at all from Taiwan via anywhere. But they do have a Spanish website. No info there about these tests nor any radio scheduling, shortwave or otherwise, so I guess it has been online only. That's es.rti.org.tw. News of Turkey is often missing from its English to North America at 23 UT on 5960, such as February 18th and 19th. So I was very relieved when back on Saturday, February 15th, they did turn their carrier on a few seconds before 2300. They start with a canned sign-on, giving the wrong English schedule information, which was more or less for the A season. So it's only a sesquimonth month to go before it's right again, barring any further changes, claiming to be at 1830, 2030, 22, and 1930, which should have been 1630, and at 03 and 06. The 06 broadcast, they say on 6165, would have been local time. Actually, it was at 03 UT, the same time as on 9515. Yet the advisory at the end of the announcement that news is pre-recorded during the 23 to midnight and 04 to 05 broadcasts is correct, as far as the current winter times. No one ever notices all these mistakes. Evidently, the same announcer comes on non-live with the olds. I resumed listening at 23:22 to 23:33 on Saturday for his letterbox. It's very ad hoc, as if he's opening mail for the first time rather than scripted. This time from the Philippines, Xinjiang, Java, more than one from India and Russia, and finally Lithuania. Some write to the English service lacking any other common language, but this time there was nothing from Western Europe or North America. He says, thank you to everyone. More to answer, but out of time. He closes saying we'll be back in 2 weeks, although this has been showing up every Saturday, perhaps with repeats. First seen via Rusty X, a story I could hardly believe. A senior citizen listened to classic FM radio too loudly and ended up in jail. A pensioner from the English city of Liverpool went to jail for listening too loudly to classical music, reported by the Happy Mag portal. 82-year-old Ian George Trainer. For many years listened to classic FM radio at full power. The noise bothered his neighbor, Thomas Michael Thompson, who complained about Trainer to the police. At the trial, the pensioner explained that because of cold medicine, he had irritation in his ears when he listened to music on headphones. So he decided to include classical music through some home speakers. I listen to music at a volume that I like, he emphasized. The judge sentenced Trainer to 6 months in prison and a fine of £722, and he was forbidden to turn on music at volumes above 65 dB. A very severe punishment, I said. Is that story for real? Yes, it is. We have it from two other sources now. Dave Kenny in the British TS Club found a story about it on the website of Classic FM itself. And Mike Cooper sends a story from the Liverpool Echo. It seems he was a repeat offender. On various random checks, February 17th and 18th, Supreme Master TV on three of its frequencies via WRMI, 15770, 5800, and 5950, I found double audio, sometimes only 1 second apart, sometime much further apart, making listening difficult, if not impossible. Apparently no one paying attention to how it's coming out. Aside from this problem, I ask myself, how can a worldwide multi-platform broadcast make itself so boring? The basic ethos of animal rights and vegan diets should go over well with the enlightened, but multilingual bits on no reliable pattern, often heavily accented when in English, and cultish devotion to their supreme master are major turnoffs. I cannot remember anyone ever submitting a monitoring report of SMTV dealing with its content over any significant time span. Kai Ludwig points out a Wikipedia page about the supreme master, Ching Hai. That's Ching_Hai. Believe it or not, SMTV is mentioned only once in passing on that page, as if it's an insignificant part of our empire. Here, after noticing there's something in German from SMTV, Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener had these comments. Should I rethink my career as a Christian pastor and academic theologian? And should I start a Stream of Consciousness TV channel? Probably not, given the quality of the insights of the Supreme Master. At least I prefer a peaceful attitude towards all creation to the fire and brimstone, patriotic, people-bashing preaching seemingly dominant on U.S. shortwave stations, only pretending to have a deeper knowledge of Christ and Christianity. And then there's World's Last Chance Radio. After missing for a month, Superstation WBCQ6 was to return to the air on February 17th with that programming, but it was already on the air testing February 16th with real WBCQ programming all afternoon and into the evening, including, we were happy to note, World of Radio at 04UT, in addition to on Area 515130. But don't expect that any time in the future now that World's Last Chance has resumed on 9330. In the British TX Club, Alan Pennington has news about WMLK, Bethel, Pennsylvania. It has been off the air since a fire at their transmitter site in March 3 years ago. They have just posted an update on their Facebook page. Their transmitter was being built by Ampagon. It was reported as 45% complete back in June 2018, but was delayed by a U.S. government project taking priority, according to a post from WMLK in February of 2019. Now their FB, dated 20 February, says, we are grateful to report that the contract for the TX being now built by a newly formed company has been signed. We will have a better time frame on completion in the near future, and it will be noted here. Thank you for your support and prayers for this dynamic end-time project. Yahweh bless. Shalom. Alan Pennington adds, the Ampagon website about us at ampagon.com says Ampagon Power Electronics AG is a new company founded in the summer of 2019 by the Italian industrial group Arete e Cocchi Technology, which has taken over all strategic assets of Ampagon AG. And the company also moved its offices and manufacturing premises in Switzerland in December of 2019, according to Ampagon.com. Thanks to Chris Gay for about an hour's advance notice that WHAS 840 Louisville, Kentucky would be off the air for antenna maintenance. This was UT February 17th, starting at 0330. Turned out it was off the air for a little over an hour. That allowed me to hear the station, which usually interferes with it, in clear KVJY, Spanish gospel music in the Rio Grande Valley. But others were also hearing Cuba and even Haiti, as you would expect from Latin America on 840. 1020 KCKN, Roswell, New Mexico, had been running low power of about 1 kilowatt for over a year since damage was caused to their transmitter. But on February 15th, after 0700, it sounded like they were back up to the original 50 kilowatts, but certainly not non-directional, protecting Pittsburgh. We're on the way, since they were overriding and interfering heavily with my nearby station, KOKP, in Perry on 1020. They're supposed to be very directional both day and night from Roswell, with hardly anything this-a-way. Artie Bigley refers us to February 19th item at radioinsight.com. Headline, FCC dismisses entertainment media trust license renewals for failure to prosecute. That's about the insane radio stations, four of them, in the St. Louis market. Version, February 20th at insideradio.com, headlined, time runs out for St. Louis owner as FCC tosses license renewal case. And quotes the Belleville News Democrat that Bob Romanek has been a controversial fixture on local airwaves, filling his show on KQQZ with racially charged language to defend proud whites. Ron Howard says a possible explanation why Radio Vanuatu was off the air February 10th, 11th, and 12th, but heard again on the 13th and 14th on 5040. Tropical Cyclone Uesei was nearby. It's spelled U-E-S-I. Again, they signed off 11 seconds before 11 UT on 5040. Manuel Mendez in Spain was also hearing Vanuatu until closing at 0630 on their previous frequency, 7260, which Ron Howard then also reports on February 15th, 16th, and 17th. And on February 20th, even I had a carrier on 7260 until it went off about 11 seconds before 0630. Mike Terry, SpaceWeather.com, reports on February 20th, the sun has been blank without sunspots for 18 consecutive days, a sign that solar minimum is still underway, despite recent signs of life from new solar cycle 25. The propagation alert from SWPC Boulder issued February 17th. Geomagnetic field expected to reach G1 minor storm levels on 4 March, and active levels expected 26 February and 5 March, due to multiple recurrent coronal hole high-speed streams. And Candace's peaking at 10 and 3 on February 22nd, 27th, 20 and 5 on March 4th. Otherwise, mostly 5 and 2 or 8 and 3 in between. Solar flux steady at 71 again, at least until March 14th. And so concludes another World of Radio, number 2022. Glenn Hauser, hoping you found it informative, and will make a point of hearing me again next week when I conclude with another standard disclaimer.